Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle, getting us into a wonderful spiritual mode of studying your word, studying his word. Let's open the word of God to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was just ready to blaze through and get about 14 verses done and ran into a beautiful problem in verses 1 and 3. So we'll have to slow down and note some very important distinctions that are vivid in the Greek. Not so vivid in the English, but in the Greek they are. So let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to wake up, first of all, in case you haven't woken up yet. You drive here, but if you're like me, you can drive sometime. Or how did I get here? And so let's, and then to test yourself and see if you're trusting the Spirit. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit has kept the languages, that we can study them and see some distinctions, Father. And we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what we're going to be looking at, just kind of like the old black pastor said, tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 3, brethren, so they're believers, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to men of flesh, as babes in Christ. So we know they're believers. And if you jump down to verse 3, we'll put verse 2 on hold a moment. For you are still fleshly. So in verse 1, just to kind of show you what's going on here, in verse 1, men of flesh, and verse 3, fleshly. Now, unfortunately, the King James translate both of those words carnal, and that's unfortunate, because they mean more than that. And so if you look at verse 1, men of flesh, verse 3, still fleshly. And a good way to get it in the English is verse 1, if we said fleshy, you're made of flesh. And you're acting that way. Now, there's nothing we can do about that. We are born into the human race fleshy, of flesh, denoting our material. Now, when he says in verse 3, still fleshly, that means you're still acting like you're in the flesh. You have not grown in the Spirit at all. So there's the great concept that Paul is doing. Verse 1, men of flesh is not, it's a condemnation, but not a one that they can do anything about. So that we're men of flesh, we're born in the flesh. But verse 3, that's bad. That you've been born again, and you're still acting like you're in the flesh. So you're acting fleshly. And that's bad. And I'll be saying a lot of this when we get down to verse 3, but I just want you to feel what's going on here. The great concept in these first three or four verses is you are born in the flesh. Okay, nothing you can do about that. You're born again, but you're still like a baby. That's why he says in verse 1, babes in Christ. But by the time you get to verse 3, but you're still that way. There's no condemnation of a baby drooling and doing things in the diaper and all this. That's not bad. There's no condemnation. In fact, some mothers find it cute. I find it stinky, but some mothers find it cute. There's no condemnation in that. But when you are an adult and you're acting like a baby in the flesh, that's bad. So do you kind of feel what Paul is doing here in verses 1 and 3? Verse 1, you're in the flesh, but that's okay. You're babes. But by the time he gets to verse 3, but you're still acting that way, and you shouldn't be. And we'll take a look at what's going on in that respect. But let's move in the progression of our study. Verse 1, I could not speak to you, for your advantage, we studied that last week, as to spiritual men, pneumatikos, from pneuma, the spirit, spiritual, much more than just being filled with the Holy Spirit, as to spiritual men. And we're going to take a look at the three distinctions of that later when we come down to verse 3. But this refers to a believer on his way to spiritual maturity, hopefully, on his way to maturity in the spiritual life. It's a shame that we care more about our physical maturity than spiritual. And most people do care about their physical maturity over their spiritual maturity. Because we can see our physical maturity, others can see our physical immaturity, all these kind of problems. I wish that we were just as aware of spiritual immaturity as spiritual maturity. Okay, but as to men of flesh, and then he says, as to babes in Christ. Now, here's the second half of the problem of America. You recall from last week, the first problem in America is that very few men in the pulpit studying and teaching the Word of God, teaching solid food. But the second great problem in America is few believers demand the teaching of truth. The first objective is to clearly present the gospel. But what happens after a person is saved? This is the great issue. Yes, it's important to get people saved, but the local church is designed for what happens after you're saved. Believers in the church go out and witness to unbelievers, bring them into Christ, and then bring them into the church. It's a responsibility of the pastor to take them from being babies to mature believers. So we have two problems in America, as you recall from last week. Problem is not immorality. The problem is not homosexuality. The problem is not abortion. The problem is not that we're not in support of Israel. The problem is in the pulpit. And I believe that with all my heart. The problem is in the pulpit. And the problem in the pulpit is two areas. One, most pastors are not qualified to teach solid food because they themselves are still babies in Christ, if they're believers at all. And then the second one is here, the people are not ready for solid food. They're not grown. They've not grown at all. So he says, but to men of flesh, sarkenos. Now this will begin our journey, but we'll come into more detail in a few moments. Sarkenos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkenos. Sarkenos. This comes from the root sarke, which is the word for flesh. That's the root of the word. Now, sarkenos compared with pneumatikos, P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S, pneumatikos. So we have two different words here, and anos, ikos. Now, let's note a few things. One, ikos. Icos here shows spiritual relationship, while inos, I-N-O-S, inos shows material relationship. So this shows spiritual, this is the Holy Spirit, relationship, and I'll put all of this in more detail later. This shows physical, flesh, physical relationship. That comes from Sarks. This is relationship. Now, the reason that we have to spend this kind of time, Paul didn't have to. They understood the Greek. We don't understand the Greek, and there's a lot that we need to learn from the Greek here. So, point one, and I'm dealing with the phrase, but to men of flesh, sarkenos. And this is compared with pneumatikos. And point one, ikos. Ikos shows spiritual relationship, while inos shows material relationship. That is, with the flesh. Flesh or material. Finding answers in the material world. Secondly, one has the mindset on things of the spirit. That's the pneumatikos. This comes from the word pneuma, spiritual. pneumatikos, while the other has a mindset on the flesh, sarkikos. Now, for distinction, look at Romans chapter 8 a moment. Romans chapter 8. This distinction is very, very important for us in our personal lives. It's very important. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 8, and let's just quickly read 5 through 7. Romans 8, 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the things of the Holy Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not able to do so. Now, point three. So while the believer may act like a man of flesh and are in the flesh, as far as studying the Word of God, they are much different than those in the flesh. They are in Christ. They are in the Holy Spirit. At least they should be. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the next phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 31. As to babes in Christ. They're believers. He started off, he wants to make it very clear, you don't get insulted here or think you're going to lose your salvation. It's amazing how Christians are so fast to take away someone's salvation. And I'll guarantee you, if he had not put brethren and babes in Christ, there'd be those saying, see if they're not even saved. See, he says here, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh. See, they're not even believers. No, they're believers. We've got to understand this distinction. And to make that, he says, babes in Christ. They are believers. Three quick points. One, the Greek word refers to a newborn baby. The word babes. Completely immature, weak, and does not yet know how to even walk. And that's the way we all were when we believed in Christ as Savior. We were like babies in Christ. Now, point two, the problem here in 1 Corinthians 3 is that this describes a believer who should be more mature, who should not be acting like a baby in Christ. Nothing wrong with the baby in diapers. But when you're 20 years old, you shouldn't be wearing diapers. That's the whole thing that he's saying here. So, that's the distinction going on. There's nothing wrong, even with a new believer. My goodness, don't ever get a new born-again believer. Well, what's wrong with going into the idolatrous temple? What's wrong with eating food given to the idols? What's wrong with doing these? What's wrong with promiscuity? What's wrong with these types of things? What's wrong with incest? What's wrong with homosexuality? What's wrong with all these things? People, we expect that from a newborn believer. They don't know. They've not grown in the Word. They've not been taught the truth. Don't ever get upset with a new believer and some of their ideas. Just smile and say, I was like that also. See? And just realize what needs to be done now. And then finally, point three, babes, weak, and need to be nurtured. Just take a baby. The comparison with a baby spiritually and a baby in the real world is so vivid here. Weak, need to be nurtured step by step. Need to be protected. A new believer needs to be protected from false doctrine. Incorrect teaching of the Word of God. Incorrect lifestyle. And needs to be brought along. That's what's important here. That's the whole issue. And so this is going to be the distinctions that Paul is making with the Corinthian believers. One other thing about babes in Christ. Here's the grace of God, people. Here's the love of God. There are those who seek to take away someone's salvation if they remain a baby throughout their life and never grow and always remain in sin. People, once you're in Christ. Babe in Christ, you should be growing. But even if you don't, you're still in Christ. That's the grace of God. Everyone who has believed in Jesus Christ is in Christ. He's a new believer, therefore babes in Christ. And we'll act like a baby in the spiritual realm. See? And there are things we just don't do. But you can't tell a little infant those things. Don't do that. Adults don't do that. You just don't say that. There's a bathroom in there for that. We don't do that. That's not the proper way to eat. We put food in our mouth, not on our mouth. And on and on and on. We don't do that. We don't expect anything different. Well, don't expect anything different from a newborn again believer. But what you want to do is get them where they start growing and learning just like a newborn baby. In verse 1, Paul writes of speaking, teaching. Now in verse 2, he writes concerning what he teaches. And again, he will make the analogy of the human realm. So verse 1, speaking and teaching. Verse 2, what he teaches. Verse 2. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. It's a wise, spirit-filled pastor who knows how to make doctrine simple. Make it milk. This is all that this pastor can do with newborn believers. Give them milk, not solid food. And a pastor teacher should know his flock, should know whom he's speaking to. This is very important. Milk versus solid food. And just like you wouldn't give a newborn baby a T-bone steak, you don't give the advanced doctrine to new believers. And it is the wise teacher who knows just who he is teaching. And in most cases, able to teach both milk and solid food in the same message. Some come in and say, I've had people come in, well, boy, your church is like a college classroom. Well, first of all, I accept that as a compliment that they didn't say it's like an elementary classroom. At least they didn't say that. But I understand what they're saying. I do understand that. And so hopefully, in a class when I see there are new believers or visitors whom I don't know anything about, I try to mix in some milk in there. And maybe with all of us, put in some milk, but also some solid food. This is what is needed, solid food for growth. Now, what is detestable? I'll tell you what's detestable. Is a preacher who gives you grace and law in the same serving. Gives you grace and works in the same message. And that confuses a new believer, upsets the mature believer. And that's just really detestable. But to give some milk and some solid food, that's desirable. Now, physical food has been an analogy in the Bible throughout the whole Word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you buy milk and all these kinds of things all through the Bible. Milk is what we give to a baby. The baby cannot take in or chew solid food, nor is his system able to handle it. He doesn't have the teeth and the ability to open the mouth, but even his system is not able to handle solid food. See? So, just as a baby believer cannot handle solid food, solid doctrine, solid teaching. Can't handle it. I didn't understand anything. Now, maybe that's a statement about you. Maybe it's a statement about the pastor. I don't know. But the new believer needs to be given milk and not solid food. This is very not understanding who you're speaking to. I love John Hintz. He goes to two different old folks' home in Tucson, and he just has a ball with them. And he kind of teaches them all like they're babies in Christ, just going through different passages, and makes has fun with them. He's not afraid to talk about death and how Christ loves them. And he understands his audience. He understands them in their age, that is, where they are in life, the challenges that they have. And he understands, in most cases, their lack of really having a lot of doctrine. And so, a lot of growth in the Word. So he just really does some wonderful work with his humor. He has a wonderful sense of humor and his audience. Whereas somebody else may go in and teach them about hell and damnation and fire, or just goes in and nothing for them. No food for them. No, if you're a good cook, who am I serving? Who am I serving? Well, there are 25 kids out here. Okay, put the pizza on. They put the pizza on and let's go. There are 25 40-year-olds, and they're, you know, all right, put the steak on, let's do this right. You got to know whom you're serving. And this becomes very important. Generally, a pastor teacher should always serve some milk for everyone in the assembly, but should quickly take them to where they can handle solid food, advanced teaching. Milk? Milk refers to fundamental teaching. And yet, it's fundamental, but it lays a foundation. That's what you want to do with milk. Milk lays a foundation, and upon which you can build on it. This is what I hope is happening with our young people on the Tuesday, the Wednesday and Thursday night class and at camp. You want to teach them where you lay that foundation, where it's easy to build on. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. This is the milk. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's good milk. Get the believe new. If they're not a believer, or they just accepted Christ as Savior, you want to have that solid foundation. So you want to build on that solid foundation. Milk generally concerns fundamental teaching, like Christ crucified, and so that you can start building on it. You start building to the 34 things you receive when you believe in Jesus Christ as a Savior. Christ crucified. Basis of faith alone in Christ alone. Oh, that's so invaluable. You teach a new believer, you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. As you received Him, walk faith alone in the Holy Spirit, and it's alone in the Holy Spirit. It's always by faith. Never by works. And if a new born-again believer can grab that, look how much that they have set themselves up for protecting themselves now. They hear somebody say, no, you got to do this and you got to do that. And they go, no, wait a minute. I believed. I was saved by faith alone in Christ alone. I received eternal life just by faith. Now He's telling me I have to work. That doesn't compute for me. See, you've given him a good foundation that will help him start learning the right way. You're filled with the Spirit by faith. Ah, that makes sense. That's how I was saved. You grow and not by faith. Ah, that makes sense. Your blessings in life are by faith, by grace in God. That makes sense. Everything makes sense if he correctly understands Christ crucified. If you laid that foundation well, and all of this is coming up later in the chapter. So if one tries to add to it, they in their mind can just, no, that's not right. That's not right. It's like teaching a young child, 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4. So he's at home doing his homework. And he's trying to do some additions. And he's come up with 2 and 2 is 5. No, that's not right. 2 and 2 is 4. And add 1 to that is 3, add 2 to that is 5. And he starts learning. You've laid a good foundation. I can't take that analogy up into trig and all that. So you'll just have to stay with the elementary illustration of that, teaching a child that foundation. And that's what we do in the spiritual realm. But when it comes to solid food, that gets into what we're studying in Romans 5. That gets into a lot of other study. Solid food, teaching that is built upon the solid foundation. Jesus Christ crucified is now going to be built on in Romans 3, 4, and 5, 6. Let's take up a few things on food for life. Food for life. One, because he's talking about milk and solid food. One, food causes physical growth. Food causes physical growth. Biblical teaching causes spiritual growth. The right kind of food causes physical growth in a little child. Solid, sound, biblical teaching causes spiritual growth. Two, food sustains in life. Food sustains in life. Some of us get a little more sustaining than we need, but food sustains in life. The Word of God sustains the believer in the spiritual warfare. The Word of God sustains in the spiritual warfare. Three, food energizes. Food energizes the body. Well, biblical teaching gives energy to the soul. The more we study, you study the Word of God, people, if you're in the Spirit and you love it, it just gives energy to the soul. Four, food causes beauty, skin, color, tone. The Word of God gives inner beauty. More person grows in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the whole understanding of the Bible gives inner beauty. Inner beauty. Five, food strengthens the body. Strengthens the body. Well, as you grow in the Word of God, it strengthens the soul. You're able to handle tribulations in life. You watch people that are very strong athletics in some realm. And boy, they really watch what they eat. They know what they need. And if it's getting ready for a big encounter, watch a weightlifter. A weightlifter knows what he should and shouldn't be eating and drinking before he goes into the workout. And then what he should eat and drink after the workout. It strengthens the body. Well, people, the Word of God strengthens the soul. Six, food repairs the body. Repairs injuries to the body. Well, people, the Word of God, biblical teaching, Bible doctrine, if you please, repairs the spiritual body. It repairs from false doctrine. It repairs from sin. It repairs from incorrect teaching. So it corrects. It strengthens. It repairs the spiritual body. Now, point seven, let's take a negative aspect. Lack of food. Most of us know what happens when we do not eat. We all know what happens when we do not eat. We become weak, susceptible to danger. This is what happens. I love watching my little grandchildren. I'm about to die. I'm so hungry. Yeah, right. Okay. We'll get it. But I'm about to die. But when you really are lacking in food, people, you become weak, delusional. These kind of things can happen with lack of food. Well, people, I'm going to tell you something. The lack of the biblical teaching of the Word of God in the soul of the believer causes him to become weak spiritually. Maybe so weak he denies Jesus Christ. Maybe so weak he deserts Jesus Christ in times of dangers, susceptible to false teaching. That's why you need to be strong in the Word every day. Eight. Food is a pleasure in life. Amen and amen. Food is a pleasure in life. Well, people, learning and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the Word of God is one of the greatest pleasures in life and gives capacity for life for the mature believer. So as food is a great pleasure in life, so is growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Nine, I don't know if you've realized this or not, But food is of no value until you eat it. Food is of no value until you eat it. I learned that as a kid. That chocolate cake is of no good until I get my fingers in it and in my mouth. Okay, let's take that principle. Food is of no value until you eat it. You can have lots of food available to you, but it's of no benefit until you eat it. And people, the same thing is true of the Word of God. You can have it near you, and here we have it. We have it for all the people that go to this church and others who don't go to this church, at least 3 studies a week. But if you don't partake of it, it's of no value to you. No value whatsoever. A pastor, not just me, but a pastor, could serve up one of the best meals of the teaching of the Word of God. If you're not there, it does you no good. Now, I don't know about many of you, but when I sit here and think of the wonderful dishes that are prepared at the mansion, and I think of the wonderful dishes that are prepared at Three Forks, when I think of the wonderful dishes prepared at these 5-star restaurants, I know I'm missing out. I'm missing out. I just don't have the money to pay for them. But people, the same thing is true of the teaching of the Word of God. Pastor can be teaching the greatest, soundest of truths, but if you're not there, it does you no good. No good whatsoever. Point 10 is a bounce off of point 9. Food that others eat does your body no good. Food that others eat does your body no good. And doctrinal teaching of the Word that others learn does you no spiritually good in your life. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your friend can be growing in the Word of God. It does you no good spiritually. Oh, maybe it might entice you to want to learn, or you become angry and jealous and bitter and judging. But as far as the spiritual realm, it does you no good what others eat. How others are growing in the Word of God does you no good in your own life. And finally, point 11, probably my favorite. Food was the first physical blessing that God gave man and woman in the garden. Remember what he said? The trees, the bush, everything in the garden you can eat of. You can eat of all these wonderful things except one. Fellowship and eating, one of the first blessings that God gave to man. Well, people, the Word of God is one of the greatest blessings that God has given to us. Each day, to sit down and partake of the Word of God. It's one of the greatest blessings that we can have. It is a blessing from God. Eat all you want. Eat every day of the Word of God. I can't say that about physical food. I can't say that about Bluebell ice cream. I cannot say, eat all you want every day. Can't say that. But I can say, eat from the blessing of the Word of God every day all you want. And it'll strengthen your body. All right, verse 2. Let's make it 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. But I did not give you solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able. Now, this is a chastisement in nice terms. He's saying it in a nice way. But let's take a look at it. For you were not able. All through this section of 1 Corinthians, we have this word, dunamai, or being able, or power to do something, plus a negative. Chapter 2, verse 14. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. That's our word, dunamai. He cannot. Chapter 3, verse 1. Not able to speak. Chapter 3, verse 2. Not able to receive. You were not able to. Just, this is dunamai plus a negative. You don't even have the ability. Don't even have the ability. People, what a horrible thing to say to someone. You don't even have the ability to learn what's being taught from the pulpit. Now, if it's a baby, that's not an insult. But to someone who's been a believer for a long time, should have been growing in the Word of God, That's a stern statement to say. You don't even have the ability. You go into someone in the fifth and sixth grade, you don't even have the ability to learn trigonometry. That's a big deal. Wow, tell me more insults. See? But you tell someone who has been taking math all the way through and should be learning it, you don't even have the ability. You don't even have the ability. Wow, that's, wow. Maybe I need to go into the arts, get out of math. See? And by the way, that's when a lot of people learn. I think I'm more geared to the arts than I am to the sciences. See? So this is what he's saying in our passage. They do not even have the ability. Now, what's a warning here? Without getting into a lot of the Greek, what's a warning is that this is in a passive voice. So we could translate this, you received not being able to receive it. Now question, how does a born-again believer receive not being able to partake of solid food, advanced teaching in the Word of God? You know how? By neglecting the Word of God throughout your life. You've been a believer 10 years, 5 years. You don't even have the ability to start taking in solid food. Boy, that's pretty stern. That's pretty bad. You should be able to do it by then. But you don't even have the ability. Passive voice, you received it. Nothing about God here. You've done it. You have made a conscious decision day in and day out not to grow in the Word of God. Doesn't mean you haven't gone to church. Doesn't mean you haven't done all the things that you think are wonderful in the religious realm. You give money, you pray, you sing, you cast out demons, you do all of these things for God and all this type of thing. You even speak in tongues. You're not even able to take in a solid food. That's an insult. That's a warning. That's a hurt. So the passive voice to me is a warning to all of us. How can I reach a point where I do not even have the ability to take in solid food? Because you haven't been eating correctly. Now an added horrible condition. Even now, you are not yet able to do what? To receive solid food. It's a horrible condition for a believer. It shows no growth whatsoever. And it's not Paul's fault in this case. It's their fault. They have not attended class when Paul taught biblical doctrine. You say I'm of Apollos. You weren't even there when he taught. You said I'm of Peter. You weren't even there when he taught. So this is your problem. Even now you're not able. Now let's take a look. Even now. All right, let's have fun here a moment. Even now. Even now. This is a rebuke by Paul. When he says even now, he is implying that they should be able to by now. Now, I want you to see the difference. This is so exciting to me what's going on here. I want you to see the difference of this word now in a context of what we're dealing with. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John 16 a moment, I'll show you the difference. John 16, verse 12. I'm so thankful we went through John slowly and just comes up in so many other studies. Look at John 16, 12. Now Jesus Christ says here, I, Jesus Christ, have many more things. This is solid food. Advanced teaching. To say or to teach to you, the disciples. But look what he says. You cannot bear them now. This is not condemnation. This is like Paul saying, you're a baby in Christ. You do not have the ability to bear it even now. Now, the now that Jesus Christ uses is different than the now that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Two different adverbs. The one Jesus Christ is using emphasizes time and event that must take place. You cannot bear them now. Does anybody remember why they cannot bear them now and why they will be able to later? Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit has not yet occurred. See? So you're not able to yet. This is not condemnation. Now, just like Paul saying, you're a baby in Christ, you're still flesh. In the strict sense, it is condemnation because you're not a spiritual believer, but it's not a strong condemnation like it is in verse 3. Well, the same thing is true here. And the reason it's not a strong condemnation is that they do not have the indwelling of the Spirit, but it is a condemnation. Why? Because they could have asked for it. They could have asked for the Holy Spirit. They didn't. But let's stay with what we're looking at it here. You're not even now. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit. See? So that's why he says it. Now. But when you receive the indwelling of the Spirit, you will be able to grasp them. While here in 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul is chastising them, pointing out that by now, they should be able to take in solid food. See, when he uses this word now, it's a different word. When he uses it, he is saying, you should be able to by now. By now, you ought to be doing this. I came into strong understanding of this word in junior high school when I made the unfortunate mistake of taking typing. I was instructed to take typing because my handwriting was atrocious, and it still is atrocious. So I will never forget. It was about midway, a little past midway through the semester of typing. And a teacher, and now that I'm an adult, I can just figure she had a bad day. And things just did not go well in her life. But she stood behind me and went boom, boom, boom. Pick, 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 pick. You're still picking. You're still picking. You're not typing. You're picking. I mean, bless her heart. The whole classroom just went, oh, is she going to hit it? And so I had to get on the ball there. But that's the idea. There reaches a point where by now you shouldn't be picking. By now you should be typing. Picking your first few days, that's fine. You're learning where the letters are and all. But you reach a point where pick, 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 pick. Not now. Not now. Now you're going to fail. Because by now you ought to be doing more things. You ought to be typing instead of picking. Well, by now, they should be growing in the Word. By now, he should be able to teach them solid food that Paul has plenty of. And boy, does he want to teach it. When a pastor has solid food, he wants to serve it. You get a good chef. Good chef loves fixing up a gourmet meal. A wonderful meal. Just loves doing it. And when he can't do it, boy, all right, just give him this. All they want to spend, hey, fine restaurant, all they want to spend is $9.99. Okay, I'll fix them a $9.99 dish. They want to spend $59.99. Now I'll fix them up some good stuff. See, but in Bible class, we don't have the difference in prices, but the concept is the same. So here in 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul is chastising them, pointing out, by now, you should be able to take in solid food. Here, advanced teaching. Okay, question. Why were the disciples not able to grasp more teaching by Jesus Christ? Because they did not have the Holy Spirit as of yet, but will soon. Second question, why were the Corinthians not able to receive solid food? Because they have chosen not to grow in the Word of God. They have chosen to stay in religion, if that's what they did. They've chosen to stay in service. They've chosen to stay in these other... They've not chosen to stay in the Word of God. They have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The problem with Jesus Christ's disciples, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. These believers have the Holy Spirit, but they choose not to walk in the Holy Spirit. The disciples will be able to grasp more and more by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what is so beautiful there is, Jesus Christ won't even be there to teach them. But boy, they're going to start growing and growing and growing in the leading of the Holy Spirit. So every believer can learn more and more and grow and become mature because every believer has the Holy Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:2, not able. That's our friend dunamai, D-U-N-A-M-A-I, plus the negative. Let's note a few things. One, you have eternal life. You have eternal life, imputed righteousness and justification. Two, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ for growing. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Three, you have the local church, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You have the local church where the Word of God is taught. Point four. But you have not taken advantage of any of these. You've not taken advantage of regularly listening to the teaching of the Word of God. You've not walked in the filling of the Spirit. You've not been guided by the Holy Spirit. You do not keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You have Him. You've not enjoyed your eternal life here on earth. You have it, but you've not been using it. It's there for you, but you've not been using it. So point five. So you do not know advanced doctrine. You do not know all that God has prepared for you, all the things that He freely gives. You do not know about prophecy. You do not know about spiritual love. You do not know about all these things. Why? You've made a decision not to. You've made a decision not to. And people, let me just say, pastors that can't because they don't have it, shame on them. You do not have to go to seminary at all anymore. There are so many programs on the internet, you do not have to sit there and memorize all of the things about the verbs and the nouns, decline the nouns, parse the verbs, and just read them off and all this like they do in seminary. Don't have to do that. We had to memorize all these things, declining and parsing and doing this and doing that and all. You don't have to do that anymore. There is so much good stuff on the internet. There are good teachers in our society today. And today we have tapes and discs, internet, all these things. Shame on pastors today who are not prepared to teach solid food. Shame on them. But shame on believers who are not growing too. If your pastor isn't giving you more, then you need to either change your church or at least get on it on your own free time. Shame on us. America's in trouble. It's not because of the lack of the grace of God either. It's because we've not taken advantage of the things that we have in society. All right, verse 2 now looks like this. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Why? For you were not even able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are not able. Question, in simple terms, why are believers not able to take in solid food or advance and take in advancing in the Word of God? All right, here's the answer. Point one. It is not because they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The moment of faith in Christ, you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit among 33 other wonderful things God has given to us. And people, the more of these things we know, the more you take advantage of. More and more and more. Got to take advantage of things that you have in life. Two, don't know how to walk in the Holy Spirit. They've not been taught how to walk in the Holy Spirit. Or they refuse to walk in the Holy Spirit. If they have been taught. Or refuse to listen to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. All of these from Galatians 5. So point two, don't know how to walk in the Holy Spirit because they have not been taught, and probably the pastor doesn't know how. It's one of those kind of things, if you know it, you can't hold it back. If you know the true gospel, you can't hold it back. If you know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith alone, you teach it. It's just there. You have to. You know you have to. So, secondly, first of all, it is not because they do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Two, they don't know how to walk in the Holy Spirit, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or they simply refuse to walk in the Holy Spirit, refuse to listen to the Holy Spirit, to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and prefer to live in the flesh. They like their flesh life. Even in the religious realm, they like the praise they get. They like what they're doing. They like that they're the center of attraction. They like giving. They like praying. They like singing. They like speaking in tongues. They like doing all these things. But they're not growing. Not at all. Point three. They have not spent enough time growing in His Word. Now, if we're talking about someone who's in the process, this is not condemnation. But if it's somebody who's been a believer for years, they've not spent enough time growing in His Word. Starting with elementary teachings and growing. People that go to college do not just start out and run to college. Most of them have 12 years of just regular academic education, 1 through 12 that we do. Now they're ready for college. Can't take someone in the 10th grade, stick them in a college classroom generally. They're just not ready. They're not ready for the material. They're not ready for the discipline, the academic discipline. They're not ready for it all. They're not ready. Same thing is true in life. God designs our tribulations as we grow in the Word. Four, multitude of pastors of local churches are not able themselves to give solid food. They themselves are babes in Christ. They have not grown themselves. And boy, they would really resent someone who would tell them that. But that's the truth. They've not grown themselves and therefore cannot teach in their assembly the truth of Scripture. People, I'm not talking about every pastor needs to know the Greek and Hebrew, not by a long shot. I will say that if they do not, they are a student of someone who does. And that's okay. I've taken it. I'm a student. I have certain men like Plummer. Boy, I mean, first thing, if he's written on it, on the where I am in the Bible, in the New Testament, I'll get him out. I respect him. I like him. He communicates to me. Zodiates. I like him. I like the way he deals with the Greek. He's Greek, born in Greece. And he just has a wonderful ability of putting it into good terms. We all are students. If somebody doesn't have Greek and Hebrew and is too arrogant to study under someone who does, they have a real problem. They need to step out of the ministry and gain some posure in Christ. But people, it's not necessary. There is so much available on the internet today. It's a shame that America is spiritually bankrupt today when we have a bank over here with billions of dollars in it, as it were, with so much information ready to grow. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, concerning Him, Jesus Christ, we have much to say. And people, that's where you get into solid food, advanced teaching, His deity, humanity, hypostatic union, miraculous birth, perfect life, miracles, teaching, His death, His resurrection, ascension, session, second advent, millennial rule, and His place in the New Jerusalem, how He is the temple, His love, how He loves. There's just so much. We don't have enough lifetimes in a lifetime to learn all there is to learn about Jesus Christ alone. And I love what we're doing on Wednesday night, studying on Wednesday night, the betrayal of Jesus Christ, the denial of Jesus Christ, the desertion of Jesus Christ. And these were by His friends. Think of what His enemies are doing. If His friends are betraying, denying, and deserting, you know what His enemies are doing. But we learn a lot about Him. So He says, concerning Jesus Christ, we have much to say. Communicate, teach, exhort, repeat. And it's hard to explain. I love this phrase. It's fast becoming one of my favorite phrases in the Bible. It's difficult to teach. Many times I feel this way. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We spent some valuable time, and I just went through step by step. Some of you men said, why is he doing all of this? I want you to understand why the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit, not Jesus Christ himself, and not the Word of God, Bible doctrine itself. I can't just stand up and say that. I can, but I want you to understand why. So, I love this phrase, and it's hard to explain. Hypostatic union. People, I don't understand it. How he can be both God and man in one. How he is temptable to sin, but not able to sin. I don't understand all these things. It's hard. It's advanced. It's hard to explain. Look what he says. Look what his reason is. And I love this. Since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. In a humorous way, dull of hearing. Sometimes I dictate that in my wife at home. She's just tired of me talking. And I'm always talking. And she's just tired of it sometimes. And I have to learn that. But not in Bible class. Not in the teaching of the Word of God. This is a condemnation. You become dull of hearing. You become apathetic. Bored. See? I've heard this stuff before. This is too difficult for me to follow. I don't understand the Greek and Hebrew. I don't understand this. I want to be entertained. I want emotionalism. I want to be excited. I don't want to sit there and learn. No, entertain me. Excite me. That's what I want. Give me emotion here. Dull of hearing. Verse 12. For though by this time, you yourselves ought to be teachers. I thank God. What's happening in one area in dealing with our young people. That we have families that are teaching young people. I'll say 2 years ago, but a year and a half when it started, they were just sitting here. But now they are teachers. I love that. I love that God has moved them out to and given them areas to teach. So he says in his class, in his statement now, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. By now, using our word from 1 Corinthians 3, by now you ought to be teachers. Communicating advanced solid food. But you have need, and note the word again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food again. People, this is not that bad. When here's a baby who needs milk, here's an old person, 95, who needs milk. That's not bad. But when you have a born-again believer needs milk, that's not bad. But when he has grown and been a believer in Christ for 5-10 years and still needs milk or has taken in a lot of solid food, and I love that. I love the energy of a new believer. Man, this is great. This is really great. And then after a while, dull of hearing. And then finally, they need to hear it all again. And that's very difficult. And I'll tell you why. Arrogance won't let them go back to milk. Arrogance won't let them say, you know what? I need to get back to the basics here. That's arrogance. It's a smart and wise professional football player. You know, I need to learn the basics of tackling. Arrogance. Look, I've been tackling all my life. I've been a tackle through seminary, through college. All more year, 4 years of college. I'm now drafted. I don't need to learn. No, yes, you do. You need to learn how we do it. You need to learn all over again these things. It's a wise, humble football player who says, yeah, I need to learn this. I need to get it down the way they're going to do it here. And the same thing is true of these believers. They've grown, taken in milk, reached a point of solid food, became dull of hearing for years in their life. They just need to get back to basics 101 again and start learning again. But they won't do it. So verse 12, you have need again for someone qualified, ready, to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And unfortunately, you'd be surprised how few pastors there are that can do that. And you have come to need milk. You need it. And not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, the very basic teaching, and this describes a great number of believers, Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, on Sunday, what do they get? They get milk. Warmed over milk. Is not for only, for every, verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Advanced teaching on the importance of righteousness. For he is a babe. Immature. Do you realize what he's saying here? These are once people who had solid food. But they have to go back now as babes. They're immature. But solid food, advanced teaching, is for the mature who, because of practice, what is practice? Living in the Spirit-filled life, growing and listening in the teaching of the Word of God, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, these kind of things, growing in the teaching, have their senses, that's your spiritual senses, trained to discern good and evil. What is that talking about? It's talking about good solid milk, good solid food. That's not solid food. That's a fault. Telling me that I have to do something for God to be blessed of God, that's evil. Telling people that they to be saved, they have to do something, that's evil. You've got to do something to be filled with the Spirit. People, I'm sorry, that's evil. Tell somebody they have to do something to be saved, that's not only a false gospel, that's evil. Tell someone they have to do something to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to repent, confess, do this, do that, to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to feel sorry. That's evil. Anything that distracts from the work of God. See, faith just grabs hold and grasps the work of God. That's all faith does. Faith makes itself available to what God does. And for me to say, you have to do something for God, that's evil. So the word here from the discern good, good is grace. Good is, that's God doing the work. All I do is faith. All I do is live by grace through faith. So you can tell how few churches have people who can discern simple principles of morality, trusting God in difficult times. You can tell the difference. Now, Paul supports his forwardness of verse 2, proves his point of not being able to teach them. Verse 3. Look at verse 3, 1 Corinthians 3. He says, and I was with you. No, that's verse chapter 2. Chapter 3, for you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, people, nobody has to tell you that you're acting in the flesh, and when you constantly are getting jealous, constantly competing with one another, constantly doing all these things, then something's wrong, and you ought to know it. Strife, division, constant, not occasionally, but constantly. So, now we're getting into it. Have not moved to the spiritual man for observant proof of their immaturity and fleshly. Since there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not fleshly. Are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? Now, some of you think we move too slowly. Let me just give you an idea. We could spend a week or two on jealousy, a week or two on strife, a week or two on fleshly, a week or two of walking as mere men, a week or two on the dangerous to every local church. So we could spend anywhere from 6 to 8 or 9 weeks here. We're going to spend 1 week next week on verse 3 and move on. But it's going to be very important in regard to fleshly and fleshy. We're all fleshy, but we should not be fleshly. So if you need to look at the adverb, what these things mean, look it up in your English dictionary, the L-Y words, the I-N-G words, all that, and we'll take a look at what being fleshy, made of flesh, fleshly, still acting like flesh. And we'll see what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 3:3. Any questions on what we did today? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. I'm glad because it was kind of basic food, milk today. All right. Heavenly Father, passages like this give us a warning, give us a pep talk. We want to continue to grow. We don't want to just stay on milk. We don't want to be sucking from a bottle of milk. We want to be chewing good solid food. We want to grow in the Word of God. We want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's so powerful, Father. It's so much energy and guidance in our life to know more and more of this book. To know more and more prophecy and what's going on. To understand people more and more. To do away with stress, anxiety, depression. Comes by growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, taking in more and more solid food. Father, we thank you so much for things your Spirit has revealed to us this morning. Pray now that we'll take these things, Father, let them settle in our souls and give us both warnings and challenges for our life to grow in solid food. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.